Welcome back to the Broadway Block, everyone. Today's episode, we're going to go over the first three games of the playoff series with the Devils. We got a very special guest, Larry Sprung.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Welcome, man. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here.
Is this better to talk Rangers or financials? What do you like doing more?
I like them both. You know, like them both. I think I tie hockey in to everything that I do. I don't know if you've seen my Guess What Rink Larry's At, but, you know, we film a video at every rink I'm at because I'm at a lot of rinks, and we donate $100 to a winner's charity of choice every month. So during hockey season. So I like to think I like tying them both together.
It's a great cause, Larry.
Yeah, thank you.
So, first two games, we won same 5-1. We were feeling pretty good. Then we thought we were going to take a 3-0 series lead back at MSG. What do you think happened? What do you think we could have done better in that game, Larry?
Oh, I listen, I think there was a little bit of a letdown. There was a little bit of a expectation that we were going to probably walk them after the first two games. So, you know, to some degree, I wasn't surprised. And I think tonight's game is going to be, you know, very telling. I think it's basically the series. I think we win. I think we move on. We lose. It's going to be a little bit more difficult for us to get past them.
It kind of has that feeling like the 2-0 lead we had against Tampa, right? Like, and we just got to really turn the corner tonight and like shut that to bed, go back to Newark and win in Prudential, right?
Well, I think the other thing we have going for us in this series versus Tampa is I felt with Tampa, they had a lot more firepower than the Devils do, in my opinion, or did, in my opinion. And then the other thing was, by time we faced Tampa, I feel like our guys were pretty tired at that point, you know, a couple of long series banged up. And, you know, obviously that's not the case at this point with the Devils.
Yeah, well, you knew that New Jersey was going to play arguably their best game of the season or of the series going into game three, right? You knew they had to make some adjustments. And the lineup changes that Ruff went with didn't go their way on the second game. But obviously the rookie goaltender they put in, Schmid, he was fantastic. And historically speaking, I mean, you want to make a joke about it all you want, but the Rangers seem to really play down to the level of an AHL or rookie goaltender. We've seen it time and time again. And you know, the writing was kind of on the wall there, but you knew they were going to come out stronger. And the key takeaway, in my opinion, was how many giveaways that the Rangers had. And we really seemed to be playing down to the level. You know, you walk into that game up 2-0, like Joe said, it's kind of like the Bolt series. You kind of feel like, you know, we can't do any wrong, but this team is good. And, you know, they've had a phenomenal season. They've bounced back all year from injury and from poor performances. So you kind of knew that this was going to happen a little bit. I feel like we take the next game, go into the Prudential Center, come back 3-2 and win it on home ice. That's just my personal opinion, but it does kind of remind me a little bit of the Bolt series. And to think what could have been, you know, if you're up 2-0 and you don't end up capitalizing and moving on would be really sad. So hopefully they can put it all together and play the way that we saw for the first two games.
Listen, I'm full alignment. I agree. And I think that, you know, to some degree, four game series aren't that great because you get a lot of rest time most likely. And I'd rather go 5 or 6 and not have as much rest time, but also not get as banged up. So I think it's a fine line between four and then thereafter. So if we could do that, it would be a home run.
Yeah, plus, you know, you saw the other series, they all were like 2-2 in the NHL and stuff like that. So whoever were, if we had swept the series, we would have had to wait for them. So I'm with you on that, Larry. One glaring difference I saw in game three over game one and two was I thought we did a good job the first two games, making sure there was no second opportunities against Igor. I felt like in game three, they would have 2 or 3 opportunities, so we weren't really bailing Igor out as much. Obviously, he only let the one in against Jack Hughes, and then he only the power play goal, and then he let the Dougie Hamilton OT winner. But Larry, you mentioned it. All it takes is one mistake, and boom, Dougie Hamilton capitalized on it. I'm really hoping tonight, though, that we have a little bit more puck luck. They said in game three, we had about 27 good scoring chances and we were expected to have about 2.84 goals, but didn't seem like we had that many opportunities. It felt like we were back to how we were playing in that October slump where it was just too much passing and not enough shots. Trocheck, we saw a couple times wide open, ready to take the shot and then just passes. So tonight, we're really going to have to just make sure everybody's shooting and you get those secondhand opportunities and not let Igor face too many secondhand opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, even when we did shoot, I mean, I recall at least two or three maybe opportunities that Panarin had that he could have buried pucks pretty easily. One was pretty much a wide open.
What, the breakaway, right? Right there.
Yeah, well. Well, he's 1 for 11 on breakaways the whole season, so I don't know that that's his forte. But there was one that he ripped it right from like the high slot area of the dot, and he had the corner. He just missed it a little bit high, and that could have been the game right there. So, you know, we got to get those shots, and they got to bury the chances when they can to kind of help Igor on the back end for sure.
Larry Brooks was already on the whole Panarin same playoff narrative as last year that he's not scoring. He's had 7 of 18 attempts and has only hit the net 7 times. Like, you know, I just think it will come. Like, luckily we have his buddy Vladdy who's been helping him out, you know?
Well, hopefully we're not cursed with the, the $10 million curse where if you have a player on your roster, 10 million or more per year, that you don't win the cup. And, he's that guy, so hopefully that doesn't ring true.
That's got to change once the salary, right? That's going to become like a $13 million
curse. All right, well.
You know, if you look at the way that he played on the Jackets against the Bolts in that series where they went out and swept the Bolts in an improbable fashion, you know, obviously Panarin is a big game player, and I think that he's just found a couple ruts on the Rangers specifically. I don't think that he has any qualms about playing in the playoffs. I think that we're blessed to have a really deep team. And if you look at the way that we scored on the first two games, I mean, we've outscored them now, 11-4 in this series so far, and yet we're still only 2-1. I feel like Panarin scoring is like that second option now where we have Kreider absolutely lighting it up and hitting that like 52 goal season pace that he was on. That seemed so unsustainable. And we thought going into this season that it wasn't going to happen. Well, guess what? I mean, he's played 3 games. He's got 5 goals. So, I mean, he's one of those players that gets really hot, and you know, Mika is another guy that can kind of be a little bit streaky. So, I mean, the team itself is a little bit like that in general, but now we have all this extra, you know, firepower with Patrick Kane and Vlad Tarasenko. And, you know, it feels like he's just kind of yet to get going where the rest of them have kind of seen some luck that way. I mean, Adam Fox has been outstanding in these playoffs so far, and it's no, to no surprise of anybody, it should be at least. And the, you know, the fact is that the power play looked great for the first two games, and you know, we failed to capitalize a few times, and you know, you mentioned about the giveaways, but it's like you fail to capitalize on the power play. I mean, that's the game right there. If one of those goes in, you know, you're looking at a 2-1 game or a 2-0 game, and it
add like MSG, they wouldn't have came back for that, like
100%. And I feel like you have to use those opportunities to take the momentum and to really, you know, it would have been such a good chance to just smother that team and not feel like they had a chance to have hope, really. So looking to the game, you know, I feel like that's our biggest weapon right now is going to MSG, get an early lead, get the crowd behind you, because it sounded dead in that building.
They were making mention of it on TV consistently. I mean, that, you know, the electricity wasn't there, but I mean, they were pretty biased against the Rangers. I felt the whole broadcast, but that's just
they sense. Were pumping Akira Schmidt up like he was going to be Brodeur coming out for them, like out of retirement.
Well, that's Ray Ferraro for you. You know,
is he that mad about us trading him? Is that what it is?
I don't know. He's just not a nice guy from what I've seen. You know,
every team, it doesn't matter who we play.
Yeah. It was funny. Last year, we were standing outside MSG before one of the playoff games. I don't remember which one it was. And one of my kids was joking around, yelled out to him, "Hey, Ray, who's going to win tonight?" He's like, "How the hell am I supposed to know?" You know, it's like, come on, just joke around. You know, he's so serious, except when he goes in there, he's so serious against the Rangers. But listen, it could be worse. We could have biased Butch Goring as an announcer, and you know, that would be just as bad. But
and even after the Kreider goal, they were still like, "Well, you know, what do you expect? It's a Chris Kreider breakaway, like, you know." But like, I guarantee they're not going with Vanecek tonight. They're definitely going to go with Akira Schmidt again. So we really got to light him up to, like, you know, make sure he knows that you're at MSG. You're in under the MSG lights, like.
I don't know. Emily Kaplan lost all credibility when she asked Timo Meier after he blocked that shot. How did it feel to block the shot? Oh, well, it felt great. I mean, come on. Let's get some real questions here. I mean, it's like, I don't even understand the context of these questions that she asks.
Well, Jack Hughes was also pretty candid in the interview. He's like, It's like, we lost two games in a row and we got smoked. Do you think I really want to talk to you guys? You know what I mean? Sometimes it's actually nice to hear them, you know, be a little bit more real in those interviews. And it's like, some of the questions, you're right. It's like, how do you think I felt? We lost 5-1 two times, like to a team that we've beaten all season. Like, of course I don't want to talk to you guys.
I don't know. So let me ask you guys a question. Who would you rather listen to, Ray Ferraro or Leah Hextall?
There's something about Ray's voice. If I'm perfectly honest, commentary aside, it's a little nostalgic in a way. And it does feel like the playoffs, if that makes sense. A little bit like Doc Emrick a little, you know, like it makes you feel like, all right, we're in the good season of hockey. And I don't know if it's because of all the NHL games I played growing up and, you know, listened to countless postseasons, you know, with my dad on the couch. It definitely feels right to hear him. But I mean, God, man, there's only a few announcers. You touched on one, Butch Goring. There's only a few announcers in the league that I would rather like less listen to. but man, it certainly feels like playoffs when he's on the horn, for sure.
I got one for you, Larry. Who would you rather hear in between periods breakdown, PK Subban or Mr. Biz Nasty, Paul Bissonnette?
Oh, can we get rid of both of them? I mean,
that's kind of how your question was.
That's like, you know, yeah, that's
PK's
a tough
over
one.
There with his shoes up on the thing. Like,
I don't know. They're both kind of, you know, I guess they're both entertaining if you take it for what it's worth, just entertainment. I don't know that they say anything worth listening to, either one of them, but, you know, it's interesting. And I guess for people who don't understand hockey and know anything about it, it might be entertaining and interesting to them. But I think people who actually know the game and understand what's going on, it's like, you know, guys, you're both a little bit of a joke.
They both hate the Rangers too.
Sorry.
Both of them hate the Rangers and like clearly say it on the broadcast.
Biz at least gave us credit last year. He's like, nah, this team's legit. You know what I mean? And I think he wavers in his opinion based on what's happening. Subban just has this like irrational distaste for us. And like, sure, he played for the Devils for what, two seasons maybe? And it's like,
yeah.
Buy him out.
Right. It's like, you're not really like, and I've said this in the previous episode, I don't really consider the Devils a rival. And if you look at the last like, you know, decade or so of hockey, they haven't really done anything to wrong us. So it's like, aside from him injuring two players, you know, with blatant slew foots that weren't called essentially or penalized in any regard. So
yeah, but he's not on the team anymore. So I think if he was still on the team, there might be that air of competition or rivalry, but sure. With him not there, I don't think it's there. Like when they're playing the Devils, you know, if they were playing the Islanders, I'm like, man, I hate the Islanders, but playing the Devils, I don't feel that way. I just feel like they're another team that we got to go through.
It's the 8th series we played them, and they're like the two franchises' existence. And did you hear the nerve of Subban? He said he still has the Devils in 6. So you're telling me the Rangers are going to lose 4 straight?
I don't know.
I don't see it. The math's not. Larry, you're a financial guy. The math's not there for me. Like I'm not in on that one.
Well, I think a lot comes down to tonight's game, because I really think that this is the inflection point to go either way. I think who wins tonight's game is the way the series will end up going, perhaps. I still think it's difficult to win 3 in a row for any team, but you know, I really feel like the way tonight goes is the way the series will end up. But I guess we'll see, and that's why we watch the game, right? And they play. Yeah.
I mean, 2-2 over 3-1 is absolutely a monumental difference. And I think if we go up 3-1, I think this team knows just as well as anybody that that still doesn't matter. That, you know, we came back last year against the Penguins in that regard, and that you still have to come out with your best effort, because this team has proven that they're not just going to roll over. They're going to make the adjustments. And, you know, I do acknowledge the Devils. I do think that they played better in that third game, but we certainly did not. You know, one thing I noticed, we were talking about the differences between the games. One thing I noticed is that we were really smothering in those first two games. We didn't give them an inch to breathe. The way that we were defensively structured, there was 2-on-1s on Jack Hughes, that we had all of their star players isolated, and we just didn't give them that space to be creative, in addition to giving up the puck countless times. So, and not capitalizing on our power play. So I do feel like it was, a lot of it was a Rangers loss and less of a Devils win, if that makes sense.
You know, I feel like game 1 and 2, we played playoff hockey and the Devils played regular season hockey. And I feel like in game 3, Devils played regular season hockey and so did we. And I think in a regular season game, regular season hockey Devils have maybe a little bit of an edge because of the speed, et cetera. But in a playoff style hockey game, I think the edge goes to us almost every time. And we just didn't play that type of game in game three. We did in one and two, but not three.
You know, to your point, Larry, Jesper Bratt skating up the ice, not paying attention to the guy who's on him. It's Patrick Kane. He hustles to get the puck and he buries it, right? So like to your point, they were kind of just like lackadaisical and like just kind of like sauntering through the neutral zone as if they could just reset, regroup, and then go back in for another rush. And maybe they've been fortunate enough to be able to do that all season. But I do agree with you that like they certainly seem to turn a little bit of a corner. I still don't think that they played all that great. And I think that there was a plenty of opportunity to kind of spank them in game three as well. But I completely agree. I think that there was this like level of not really understanding the place that they were in and how to play in that moment for sure.
I just kind of felt like it was kind of how we've been playing all year. We'd get on a good winning streak for a couple of games, and then you don't know which team, Rangers team, is going to show up. And that kind of, I just had this weird feeling once Emily Kaplan did that beginning interview. I just was like, oh, I kind of feel like she's right. Like we're going to just come out and kind of play flat, which was really weird to me because the boys had off yesterday. Gallant gave them no practice, but Gallant was still available for interview. And he said that we played the same game that we played one and two in game three, which I didn't see that, but he felt that way. I don't know. You never know with Gallant. Is he fluffing us up or you just don't know what to really believe from him? But from anyone who watches every game, I didn't see the same team as we saw. Kind of what you said, Larry. We played a playoff games the first two games, and then we just kind of sauntered out there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think Gallant's going to protect his players. He's a different, you know, he's not a John Tortorella where he's going to throw these guys out to pasture. So I think to some degree, you know, you got to take what he said with a grain of salt, and whether he actually means it or not, he's keeping, you know, the team morale up so that they're prepared and ready to come out tonight and not knocking them down like some other coaches might.
Yeah, well, I remember that before the series starts, he's like, it's not going to be physical. And then game one, like, there's just bodies going left and right. You got Igor punching someone in the head on game three. It's like, you know, maybe he didn't want to tip his cards, but it certainly seemed like there was that little bit of nastiness. I think the players play like there's a rivalry, if that makes sense. There's definitely some distaste and some bitterness going. And I don't know if that's frustration on Igor's part in what we've seen, because I've seen a few moments where he's gotten a little bit physical with somebody, and we saw it even in the regular season. Jack Hughes slides into the net, Igor kind of gives him a shove. You know, I feel like we've seen some tempers flare from him a little bit, and there's part of me that wants to see that competitiveness. It kind of reminds me of Henrik Lundqvist in that way, that he, you know, he hates losing probably more than anybody on the team. So we'll see what happens. I hope there's a big bounce back as far as the team wind structure for sure, because I agree with both of you. I don't think they really played the same way.
What are going to be the keys, guys, tonight to win this game? Obviously, if we could just turn half those power plays into goals.
Yeah, it's easy to say special teams is the answer of what can change for sure. I think that was their first even strength goal, right? The Hamilton goal. So it's like, yeah. You know, we've been pretty good in that regard. And as far as the keys to the game is like, you whatever you did game one and two, you have to come out and play that way. I felt like they were, you know, they were like glue on those guys the first two games. They didn't really give them a chance to breathe and to get creative. And if you look at the Devils, the way that they've had success during the regular season, they're an off the rush team. And they sort of, like we were just kind of mentioning actually about Bratt, they sort of regroup and then kind of come in with a rush and try to catch a team off guard with their speed. They have plenty of players that are really talented off the rush. But the Rangers are a really good team off the rush and off the cycle. So if you look at the way that the Hurricanes play, they're a cycle team. They're not going to beat you just with their pure speed. They have some speedy players. They're obviously a little bit injured, but they play a really hard forechecking game and burn you by creating some difference with the defensive structure so they can, you know, keep the puck moving until they get someone to move off of their guy and then they capitalize. The Devils don't play like that. The Rangers have this weird, unique skill blend of being able to burn you on the rush, which we've seen happen, and being able to burn you on the cycle, because, you know, how many passes have we seen them thread in a row on the power play? And there's certain times where it's even strength and they're looking like it is a power play. So, you know, the Rangers have that weird, unique blend, and it's just going to be capitalizing on the chances that you're given and then creating those chances when they're not right there for you.
Yeah, I agree. I think we got to come out playing playoff hockey like we did in game one or two, one and two. Capitalize on those opportunities when and if they're given to us on the on the power plays and the special teams. And then, you know, the big guys got to step up, take the shots and bury a couple and, you know, help out the cause for the team and Igor and just continue what they did in game one or two. Forget about, you know, be a goldfish and forget about, you know, game three and just bring it tonight.
And the Devils have never in their history, 40-year history, they've never been swept in a series. So something to be said there. I'm with Larry on it's a turning point tonight. You know, we really need to come out strong, get this win and shut them down.
What do you think has been like the biggest surprise to you during this playoff so far, Larry?
I think the, you know, game one, 5-1, you know, knowing now what I saw in game two, it's not that much of a surprise, but I will tell you at the end of game one, I was like, wow, I did not expect it. You know, I did not expect a 5-1 win. I thought it was going to be much tighter. Then coming out of game two again, 5-1, same thing. I was like, wow, you know, but at the same time, I kind of in the back of my mind said, I don't know how long this can continue, which may have played into a little bit of a letdown in game three by the players themselves kind of thinking, you know, along those lines as well that, you know, how are we going to keep this up against this team? But that has really been a couple of the biggest surprises. And I think the other one is, you know, you mentioned it earlier that it was a little bit physical, you know, probably more physical than expectations were thinking for game one and two. And I know one of the things that's been questionable with the team as a whole for, you know, ever since Panarin got tossed around by like a rag doll a few years back was the toughness. And I think we're tough enough. I think we got guys who they may not be the biggest, they may not be the strongest, but they're willing to stand up for their teammates. And I think that their strength and toughness may supersede even their size in certain instances, and they're willing to take that. So I think those are a couple of things that I was, you know, pleasantly surprised about in the first couple of games.
Yeah. Well, if we lose, then the clip of Goodrow is never going to, you know, leave our minds. I feel like that's going to be surfacing for quite a while, but as far as like the willingness to stand up for everybody, I mean, you saw him getting really chippy and, you know, I think even for a moment he threw the gloves down, in which should be a penalty. We got kind of lucky there. He kind of just tossed them off and was ready to go with whoever. And we've seen a couple of scraps. You know, Schneider's been really physical, and that's on brand for him, obviously, no question. But I think to your point, I definitely agree with you that we're like a, you know, I was saying about like how we score on the forecheck versus on the rush, but I think we're also a blend as far as skill versus grit. And you know, if you want to play rough and tumble, like 100%, we can do that. And then the skill is going to kind of show itself. And if you want to, you know, play this like toe-to-toe, like end-to-end rushes on both ways, like we can burn you that way too. So, I mean, it's really in our favor, I feel like, to kind of play to whatever's in front of us. And, you know, hopefully we can kind of set the tone physically to, you know, because it felt like to me that they were a little bit like squeamish as far as like going into the boards, and you know, you throw somebody off in that way and you make them not play what their game is all about, and you make them kind of second guess it and look up the ice before they actually make the play. And I think that that's really what stood out to me, was that, you know, it seemed like we were really under their skin and getting to them. It also seemed like on a little bit of a tangent here with this one, but it also feels like Jack Hughes was, you know, almost a liability that first game. You know, he got so desperate with the puck. I think it was 5 giveaways, right? And every time that we were smothering him, again, kind of talking about making somebody not play their game, we've seen him, you know, with these blind passes, almost like Panarin, and it somehow squeaks through. We've also seen Panarin do the thing where he throws the blind pass and it's on someone else's tape and it's going the other way. So, you know, Hughes kind of reminded me of that, and he's getting into that fire where, you know, he felt like he had to kind of will everything to existence. So I feel like if we can play like that and make them play a little bit sloppy, we're gonna be in good shape.
I'm a little nervous with the nerves, because I think the first two games, the Devils didn't, you know, that really showed its head that they didn't really have much playoff experience there. So, you know, I feel like Hughes is a little bit more comfortable. He had that shootout goal, and then he had the power play goal. So, you know, he's looking for an even strength one now. And he's really the only one on that team that scares me when he has the puck. Other than that, I feel like we match up pretty well against them, where we shut them down for the most part, as long as we don't do those bad giveaways. You know, that has been our problem all year, bad giveaways. But as long as we don't give any away, we should be on top of things.
I agree wholeheartedly. I think he's probably the biggest threat, if not definitely the biggest threat they got. And when he's got the puck and open ice, it's concerning. But hopefully our D are back and can shut them down. And you could tell he has a little frustration because when he scored that goal, he went in the corner. And I don't know if you noticed, but he almost like started.
Did you see the guy waving to him?
Yeah. Well, and it looked like he was pissed by that whole exchange. Like he wanted to taunt them back. But if you could read his mind, it seemed like he thought twice about.
He chose he went away to go.
It seemed like he didn't want to let that go, but he did.
You also have seen him in the past, like, get it, try to get the fans excited and piss somebody off in the crowd. He almost was a little bit more contained, like, well, don't gloat just yet because it's not over. You know what I mean? And I feel like he's a threat. And I feel like what we've seen him be a threat, we've seen him do it all himself. And he definitely has that ability where, to draw a comparison, he can cut through the ice, like almost like McDavid can, like with that speed and, juke out like three or four guys. Obviously they're different players, but I feel like, Hughes by himself is a big threat. And I felt like we isolated him well enough where that happened as minimal as possible. And like I said, I felt like he gave the puck away so many times that he felt like he couldn't do it all himself in those moments, but we saw him cut to the net and Igor make really big saves a few times during the series already. So, maybe something's got to click for him where he feels like, I'm the one who's got to do this essentially. Cause if he sees what we see, which is that, he's basically their only chance. I think that's their path to victory is him kind of willing it and doing it all himself. But hopefully tonight we can come out with a nice bounce back win as always. And thank you again, Larry. It's been a pleasure to chat with you. And I can't tell you enough. You said something about having a podcast lets you connect with all these people that you never would have. And it's really a blessing that we get to chat with folks like yourself that are obviously very knowledgeable about the game. And I wish you continued success with your podcast as well. And make sure you check out Mittland Money Mindset with Larry Sprung. And as always, let's go Rangers.
Let's go Rangers. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Larry. Let's go Rangers.